Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 12, which says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. We've been looking for the last few weeks about this issue of the calling, looking at it from the idea of how the scriptures define that word called, elect, or chosen to really describe what it is that the scriptures really look in. How we really ended up defining that after looking at that for a couple weeks was the issue of that it has to do with the idea of service and being chosen very specifically for a purpose. Now, when we look at the things related to what the body of Christ is actually chosen for, you know, I want to look at a couple of verses here. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, because we see how Paul defines what the will of God is over here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, when we read here in verse number 4, when it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So Paul identifies the fact that the will of God is really a twofold issue. The first piece of it is that God wants all of mankind to receive salvation. He wants everybody to accept the gospel that has been given to the Apostle Paul, the one that he identifies three different times in his epistles as being my gospel. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives somebody their salvation today. They don't have to add anything on to that message. God wants all of mankind to put their trust in that, so that way they can be identified as being part of this chosen that God is speaking of. But God doesn't want it to actually stop just at that issue. God wants individuals to actually have the change in their life that occurs as a result of putting their trust in this message. He wants individuals, as it says, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants individuals to have a full understanding of what the Word of God, rightly divided, means for somebody today. God wants somebody to actually be able to understand the scriptures, understand the doctrine that's been given to the Apostle Paul, so that way it have an impact on their life. That's why you see how Paul describes when he looks at his responsibility. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll see here in the book of Ephesians how Paul describes the responsibility that he has. When we look here at verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter number 3, which says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So Paul sees the responsibility that he has is that he's to be going out and preaching this message, getting so that way all men would see the fellowship of the mystery. And that would be both the unsaved who need to have salvation, and also the saved that need to come unto the knowledge of the truth, to understand how the word is supposed to work in them. You know, that's why you see how he prays for the saints in Colossae, in Colossians chapter number 1. As he prays for them, what he prays for is that they would have an increase in knowledge, and that the result of that increase in knowledge would be that they would walk worthy, that it would have an impact on who they are. You know, the doctrine is very important, and Paul has to keep warning individuals to make sure that they are standing firm in the doctrine, that they are staying true to the information that he has given to us. In fact, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll see how, and this, we're just going to look at one example here of the Apostle Paul giving information related to people staying true to the Word of God rightly divided. And we're going to look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to read here verse number 13 and 14. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." So Paul has to be encouraging the members of the body of Christ to be standing firm in the doctrine, to hold fast the form of sound words. The doctrine that we see that begins in Romans chapter number 1 and it ends in the end of the book of Philemon, that's the information when Paul's saying hold fast the form of sound words. This is the information that we're to be holding fast to. This is the information that we need to be making sure that we are applying to our lives, so that way we can have the impact that we're supposed to have in this world. And if we're doing that, then we're doing everything that God would be pleased with, because God wants the members of the body of Christ to do the good works. He just doesn't require it for salvation. The motivation is that Christ loved us, gave himself for us, and that this is a reflection of the love that has been shown towards us. Now, as we look at this idea of, when it says, "who hath called you," and then it says, "unto his kingdom and glory." Now, when we see that word kingdom being used here by the Apostle Paul, we see that this is something that really would cause a lot of confusion for individuals, because there's this almost automatic thing that when somebody sees that word, that they think of the promise that's been made to the nation of Israel. It's kind of like that thing of when somebody sees the word baptism in the Bible. When they see baptism, the thing that they immediately think of that, oh, there has to be a water baptism that somebody needs for their salvation. Even though the scriptures identify 12 different baptisms, or they see the word church, when the scriptures identify at least 3 different churches or called out assemblies, they see that word church and just think that, okay, if it's talking about the church, that just means all saved individuals, no matter where those passages are talking about. And so what individuals do when they start seeing this idea here, and they immediately start looking and say, well, I can go back into, the message that was given to the nation of Israel, see this word kingdom, and say, well, see, Paul is preaching the exact same message that the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth. He's preaching the exact same message that Peter and the other apostles were preaching, because I can see things, for example, let's go over to the book of Mark. I'll go here to Mark chapter number 1. And we're going to see here a verse that talks about the idea of the kingdom that's been promised to the nation of Israel here. And here in Mark chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 14. And it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so we see the message that's being preached is very clearly being identified as being the gospel of the kingdom of God. Speaking about how the kingdom was at hand for the nation of Israel. The kingdom is being offered. It's ready to be ushered in. All they were going to have to do is believe the gospel. And if they did that, then they would be able to be part of this kingdom message. Now, the gospel that's being spoken of here that they were going to have to be putting their trust in is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied that was going to come. So when we see this message, and we're going to see this message very clearly being taught all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to show that this is what was going on here. Let's, for example, go over to Matthew chapter number 4. So we can see what it is that the Lord Jesus, because you know, we see him preaching it in Mark, but we can see it here in Matthew as well. Matthew chapter number 4, we're going to start here at verse number 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And when we're seeing this idea of the gospel of the kingdom, we know that this is distinct from the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that Paul identifies and calls my gospel. This is a completely different message because this is the message of what was promised to the nation of Israel. And that's why you see this very consistent thing happening all through the gospel accounts, and why these books can never be applying to a member of the body of Christ today. Because the focus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is on the nation of Israel, on the promises that had been made to them. And that's why you see, we can go over to Matthew chapter number 5 to see what it is that is being said here. And this is a, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter number 7, this is the Sermon on the Mount that so many individuals try to pull doctrine for themselves today. And when we look at what's actually being said, it's very clear that the people who are being spoken to here, the doctrine that's being given, this is not body of Christ material. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, and it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you see how the focus, and this is what we see as you go through these chapters, that you see that the focus is on the things of the earth here in these passages. That it's the message that has been given to the nation of Israel. The fact that the kingdom is going to be established with them because this is the promise that had been made. So that's why when we even see the prayer that's being offered up, when we go over to Matthew chapter number 6, and this is one of those things where so many people don't even understand the prayer that's being said here. Because if they understood it, they would not be offering this prayer up for themselves. In even in the context of the chapter, this prayer was never meant to actually just be repeated by people over and over again, blindly just praying it, because he even says here in Matthew chapter 6, when you look at verse number 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So individuals, as they are going to just keep blindly praying this prayer that we're going to read in a minute here, they are really using these vain repetitions, just thinking that God's going to respond to the fact that they just keep offering this prayer up over and over again, not even thinking about the doctrine of what's being said. Now, let's take a look at the message of what it is that he's teaching them here. We'll pick up here verse number. He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I want to tackle verses 14 and 15 first here, because this is a conditional forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them, saying that in order for them to be forgiven, they were going to have to forgive other individuals. The forgiveness that's been promised to the nation of Israel, the forgiveness that's part of this kingdom message, this is a future event that they're still waiting for. You can see it over in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, when it identifies the fact that the forgiveness that they're going to receive will occur when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Speaking of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ here to planet Earth to establish the kingdom, that's when this refreshing is going to occur. That's when they're going to receive that forgiveness. And they're only going to receive that forgiveness based on their performance of what's being said here. Now, we can look in multiple different places in Paul's epistles. For example, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Which speak of the fact that a member of the body of Christ has already been forgiven. Forgiveness is already a present possession of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. We don't have to worry about anything of that there's something that we haven't been forgiven of. The issue of sin has already been taken care of for us. Now, when you continue on in this passage, you see how they're looking forward in this prayer for the kingdom to come and be established here on the earth. This is the hope that they had. They don't have a heavenly hope like the members of the body of Christ do, where Paul identifies the fact that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That he talks about how we're looking forward to the Lord catching us up off of this earth, us meeting him in the air, us receiving a glorified body, so that way we can rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. That's the hope that we have. They're looking for a literal, physical kingdom to be established here on the earth. That's why, and this continues on, we'll go over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll see how Peter is going to continue on with this type of a thought process to really identify the fact that this is what was being said here in these epistles as well. Peter is a continuation of the message that is recorded in the Gospels. Peter's a continuation of what we see in the early part of the book of Acts, as the kingdom was being offered to the nation of Israel. We see a promise, a description of who Israel is here in 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to read here verse number 9, which says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And we see how this description of them is being called, that they are a royal priesthood. That same idea that you see back if you look at, over the book of Exodus, when the promise is being made to them of, the law being given, and it's identified that they are going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This whole message just keeps continuing on, attempting to establish the nation of Israel as it has been promised with them to be this kingdom that's going to be here on planet Earth. And so when this word kingdom is used by Paul, immediately what people do is they have this thought and say, well, see, Paul is, because he's using that same word, it's the exact same message. It's, him trying to really just carry out all those things that you see, Peter, James, John, that's why you start seeing the twisting around of the words in Galatians chapter number 2 to show how the messages are really the exact same thing. That people try to fit it into their own thought process rather than actually letting the words define themselves in the passages. And if you let the words define themselves, we'll see how things are really going to actually truly lay out. We'll see what it is that Paul actually means. And we won't have to get creative in trying to explain away, some of these things of what people see. And one of the things that people try, use to try to explain away, I think, is they create a different thing of, well, we're going to have to really try to divide up Paul's epistles in a different way than what the scriptures actually lay out. And when we, if we do it that way, we're going to create a lot of confusion for ourselves, because what's going to end up happening is we're going to really pull a lot of doctrine that's been given to us and try to say that it really isn't things that actually apply to the members of the body of Christ today. And when that happens, then people start doing this thing of picking and choosing various things. Well, that doesn't apply, but this over here does. And leaving it as a thing of, confusion for people who are trying to study the scriptures. Leaving it as a thing of where the people who are trying to study the scriptures for themselves really can't have a clear understanding and have to rely on somebody else telling them exactly what the scriptures actually mean. And when we continue on here in this passage in our next episode, we're actually going to look at the viewpoint that individuals have come up with, which is really kind of defined as being Acts 28 dispensationalism, that individuals have laid out a system, and by doing this, they throw a whole lot of the doctrine that Paul has been given to the members of the body of Christ, take it and throw it out in a way to just try to make it easy for them rather than letting the words they actually mean what they say. Like I said, we'll pick up with that in our next episode. As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, and also how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. So it's a way for you to be able to study the Word of God in your own home and be part of our message. So, you know, feel free to take advantage of that as well. If you ever have any questions, comments about anything you hear in these broadcasts, anything on our website, you know, anything that you have related to the Word of God, feel free to contact us and we'll be more than happy to answer whatever questions you have. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.